Russell Hand is an incredible character. In a relatively short time frame, he has amassed one of the biggest and most impressive collections of carriages, harness, and accoutrements in the world. Added to that, he's undertaken a breeding program and now has in the region of 70 horses and ponies at his base in Shropshire. Spending a few hours with the J-Rock team is fun and inspirational. Russell and his wife Pat have generously extended their yard, horses and collection to many people, not least the apprentices who train and learn about driving with them. In this recording, made with Russell, Pat and some of their team, including Abby and Nicole, in the harness room, we chat about how they became involved with horses, driving and carriages. Russell's engineering background led to a love of how the carriages are constructed and to his favourite builder, Peters & Sons of London. You will hear the warmth and enthusiasm throughout this podcast, and you will also hear the unlikely story of how Russell purchased some horse semen at a charity auction. Enjoy.
We need vision all the way around here because it's just going to be Russell and I in this, but what we can say, we've got the team because slightly out of shot, we've got Nicola, Abby and of course, Mrs. Hand, who I think you two are quite a remarkable couple, all your adventures together, putting all this
The adventures
together.
Are funny, aren't they?
And the team, you know, the goodwill with everybody that you've got. Yeah. You've got a lovely atmosphere. It's a great vibe.
I mean,
here.
We went there to, we did the tandem meet, didn't we? And my thing there is we're going to go down Newmarket High Street, three tandems. And off we went and we did that, didn't we?
Oh, Minta was thrilled. You really made the weekend for her. She was.
It was a good weekend though, wasn't it?
You know. But everybody is. We all appreciate those, whether we're organising or competing alongside you or judging whatever we all do, we all appreciate just the passion and enthusiasm you bring. And having driven up to you today, I live not far from Windsor, I do appreciate the distances that you come down with the horses and the coaches and driving through the night and everything. I mean, you have to be pretty dedicated, don't you? That's a given, isn't it?
Yeah.
And well, and the other thing, when you go into Windsor and you go into a lot of these shows, there's a lot of people like Sonny, who's driving horses professionally all week.
Yeah.
And you know, you look down the line and there's us, there's us weekenders.
Yeah.
And a lot of good quality professional people.
But we've just been talking about Sonny because I was with them earlier in the week. And there is a sense that we are one big community, particularly in driving, and that's one of the things we really enjoy. That was why we as a family tended to stick with driving over and above the other equestrian pursuits, because everybody's so helpful. It's quite a levelling sport and everybody will help each other out, won't they?
We had that experience, didn't we, at Windsor the one time when we took off, didn't we, and the horse stood over the pole
and
Everybody helped. Came from nowhere.
David Saunders was there. We didn't know him, and he ought to be quite good anyway. But
because most of us have been in those situations, and it's something I talk about it a lot. It's one of the things that worries me about many modern drivers, because our safety has improved so much. A lot of people haven't actually seen an accident and don't realise how really quickly it happens, particularly in driving. You've got so much kit. There's so much involved in the turnout.
So we've got a good number of apprentice girls here.
They're doing the formal apprenticeship.
Yeah, so they're doing formal apprenticeships through a company called Heaven Training. They're doing all that. They're the training provider.
Yeah.
And then they're doing everything else here. But so for the girls here, we've got a breeding program. We've got all the harness. They're riding the horses. We've got Connemara's for them to ride.
You've got this little Welshies. You've got your crew of Welshies that people can get going with.
They're taking them out. They're doing them. And it's working okay now.
Well, it is brilliant. You're one of the very few working yards in that you must be quite unique just to have the variety of horses, you say, the breeding program, the carriages going,
yeah,
all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. We do our own worm counts. If one of the girls is...
Oh, that's a good help. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was difficult to sort out.
I bet that's quite heavily regulated, is it, as to how you can and can't do it?
Well, what we did was, she's actually now done she's got a qualification. Who was that with? Lantra.
Lantra, that's right, yes. Yeah.
So,
and there's the NOS things as well, the National Occupational Standard ones are quite straightforward
as
well.
So what we ended up doing is we got in on the back of one of the show jumping yards, really. They showed her...
Brilliant. That's a good idea. Yeah.
And then from there, she went on and did all the Lantra stuff. So she'll do all of the worm counts.
And how do you find the apprenticeship scheme? Does it run quite easily?
Yes. As long as the kids want to do it.
Yeah.
And they all say they want to do it, but they want to do the practical side.
Yeah.
And they don't really want to do all of the theory and upload all the videos and all of their knowledge.
Yes, yes.
That haven't training are looking for.
Well, I mean, but that's a given, and it's an industry wide beyond driving. It is a recognised qualification, so they have to do whatever the national standard requires.
And you know what? The kids are all stuck, aren't they? They leave school at 16, or don't they leave school, and they go on to higher education.
Yeah.
A lot of them will go on to higher education, but they don't really know what they want to do. Or that they can come here, they do their apprenticeship, and then they might move on. So we've just had one girl finish her apprenticeship in January, and she's gone down to the King's Troop now. I assume she's still in the King's Troop.
Brilliant.
She's in her second part of training at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she'll go on to the King's Troop from that.
Yeah, so we won't start Windsor this year, perhaps, but she'll...
Oh, no, she'll definitely be there next year.
Yeah, next year. Oh, that's interesting. So, Russell, you said Ampat obviously bought this place just over 15 years ago, and I've built this incredible empire, mini empire around you. It's a lot to pack into 15 years. How on earth did it start? What came first, carriages or horses?
Ah, no, motorbikes. You can't.
Wrong answer. Horsepower of a different
motorbikes and cars. And I'll tell you what went wrong. The Pat went off to get a pony with my daughter.
It's all you.
Yeah.
It's all down to you.
And she came back with two. So I suddenly become Billy No Mates, don't I? Because I've lost my little partner that I go driving my car in, or if I'm going out on a motorbike. So I ended up talking to a lady in Chester and agreeing to buy a Frisian mare off her. I'll buy the horse if she'll teach me to ride. And that's what we did.
So to teach you to ride first on a Frisian that we normally think of more as a driving animal, but that's interesting. Okay. What happened next?
Then I'd got a friend who also got a Frisian that was driving.
Okay.
And he'd had a hip operation. So he wanted me to go and be his groom, really.
Rebecca wanted to take the horse out, didn't she, Jacob, on the Sunday?
Yeah.
But she didn't feel confident enough to take the horse with Chris after this operation.
Yeah.
So we said, oh, well, we'll tag along with you then.
So that's what I became
a groom. So that's where it all began.
And I thought, this is quite social, this is. This is actually better than sitting on the back of a horse and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm only a sitter on her. I'm not a rider. So there was a horse called Jacob, and then we bought one called Wendy.
Yeah.
And we bought Wendy off Fiona.
They do the insurance.
Fiona Gordon Clark. Yeah.
Off her mum. Off her mum.
Yes. Yes.
So Wendy was, and then we drove Wendy, they drove Jacob, and then in the end we put them together and off we went, and we did little picnics and family things.
And how long ago was that?
Well, 2009.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're about 2026. So 17 years.
And then it wasn't long. We bought a little field up the road, 5 acres, and then we had a little bit more. And then this field came for sale, and we thought, well, we'll have this one, and then we'll build a little little block, and so it went on from there, yeah. Really. So I'm good at building little building blocks, but I'm not very good at buying a big lump.
Well, but that's also your collecting style as well, isn't it? You've just added and added, consistently added and added. And what it's taken, it feels like a lifetime's collection that you've put together in quite a short space of time.
Yeah, I've been quite lucky, haven't I? Carriages tend to find me now.
Yeah.
It's difficult, really, because if you were buying them as an investment, mm-hmm. It's a waste of time, isn't it?
Well, it's a different sort of investment. It's not necessarily a monetary one.
No,
it's one that, as you say, the social side, the social history, just walking around, yeah. Seeing all the different types. And there's several that obviously I'm going to pop in the back of the car and take home.
Yeah.
Some of them come from Thibaud and Shawland. Quite a lot of carriage labels around here, which we like
to
see.
I enjoy to leave all the labels on. Yeah. And then because, we've got some harness that we had in 2010, which came from Diana's place.
Yeah.
And then you pick up, I don't know, a collar or something like that, and you think, how long ago did we buy that? Yeah. And then if you've still got the tag on it or something, then that helps you. I think there's something here, but...
There's one there.
You know?
That's what we like. Yeah. But what... I have to say, most people wouldn't necessarily go and buy a child's pony and then a couple of Frisians and then end up with nearly 70 horses. A lot of them are homebred.
No, because most people are sensitive.
Yeah, okay. you haven't done anything by halves. In fact, I don't know, when do you ever rest? Because obviously you're working, this needs funding and keeping, and it's a huge undertaking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But sometimes you need to be able to... if you're driving and you're concentrating on your horses, mm-hmm. Everything else has disappeared in the day for you.
So it's quite a stress release for you.
It's good, and you've got good thinking time as well.
Okay.
And if you can get two horses, one horse, four horses to do what you want to do, those horses teach me a lot, but sometimes not that much about horses, but you can actually transfer that over into people. And people will go, well, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make a drink, can you? Yeah. So how are you going to do that? And if you transfer that over to people...
I agree, yeah.
Then it actually becomes quite a good training aid for your own sanity, really.
Well, it's keeping the curiosity alive. I mean, every day's a school day with horses, isn't it? I mean, particularly your Welsh mares. And you learn so much from the horses, don't you, if you're open and curious and want to learn.
And what we're doing, we've got a little bit of leather, and I'm kidding them that I'm in charge, and they're probably going, we'll go where we want to go in a minute.
But he feeds us, or the girls feed us, so it's... Yeah.
And so you talk about feed, and that's important to us.
Yeah.
And look what a disastrous hay harvest that we've just had. And we're all paying now twice, three times the money for all of the...
there's availability. I mean, it's great if you've got some to sell, but we've had a long, wet winter and the ground's been turned over and, there's no end to it at the moment.
No.
And, okay, so we're going to be making hay May, June, July time again. Well, there's still got a lot of time to get there, haven't
we? We're sorting ourselves out irrigation this time.
Because if we'd
have irrigated last year...
Okay, that's it.
We'd have had a real good...
Yeah.
We probably won't need any irrigation this year, but it all goes to being self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to you earlier on about knowing what grass seed that we've actually put in, whether we've got Timothy in there, whatever we've got in the grass seeds, and being able to do the hay and the haylage and just knowing what we've actually got. So you're a bit more in control, and that's just the same as us buying the six-month-old foals and them growing up with us. And then, some people, when you have a bit of trouble with a horse, they go, oh, this horse has been beaten or it's been... But we know that the horses haven't been beaten, but they're not all of the same temperament. I mean, we just spoke about the one called Diamond that didn't make it as a carriage horse, but is quite a good riding horse. And we know that Diamond's not been knocked about, but...
Just doesn't
suit Diamond. He doesn't like the noise behind him.
Okay.
And not every day is an easy day. You know, whether we've got teeth is a big thing for me at the moment. And we've changed equine dentists a couple of times recently.
Mm-hmm.
over the last 3 years. So what I want to do is I want to do more inspection on teeth ourselves, not to be actually doing the dental work or to be doing any rasping, but I want to be able to set up a bay where we're actually popping a camera in and having a look at the horse's teeth and not trusting in somebody who's doing some rasping and telling me that it's been done.
I think that's very good. And also, particularly with a driving horse or any driving animal, the mouth is so crucially important that if particularly with you bringing a lot of youngsters, there's been a problem from the get-go when you're starting to bit and try and make the mouth.
Yeah.
If you can see that off before you start, that's really a good idea. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant.
So bring as much stuff in-house as we can. Mm-hmm. Train the girls to leave, but hope that they stay.
So you're preparing them for the big wide world, but yes.
Yeah, and some have left and then come back.
Yeah.
I mean, we walk around the yard and you know, there's a number of them that have left and gone and tried it on the other side of the fence.
And then they come back to it. So back to the collection, because it is possibly, obviously, we know you're from the assalage and the coaching and the showing and all sorts of things, but putting together your carriage collection, that's what most people will associate with you and Pat and the team here. And obviously, I've been very involved in a lot that you bought from Reading, and there's some fantastic vehicles. You are well known for loving Peters in particular, and you have sort of scoured the world to get them, haven't you?
Yeah.
But out there, you've got nearly every maker, haven't you? What is your buying policy, or is there one?
So,
I want it, I buy it.
I want that one. So the stuff that you start off buying in life perhaps isn't the same stuff as the years go on.
So you fine-tuned and learnt along the way. So
you learn and you look at a carriage and you think, do you know what? That is really, really nice. Mm-hmm. And I do like the Peter stuff because I think it's very, very fine. And so when I left school, I became an engineer. And I think to myself, you know, you look at how on earth did they do the engineering all those years ago? Which blows me really. But yeah, Peters is my favourite. I don't really mind what we've got after that. Everybody likes Holland and Holland stuff. I like Hooper stuff. I call my dog Hooper.
Yes, well, that's a Dalmatian.
Yeah, Dalmatian. So I call my dog Hooper. And I don't quite know which one comes first, the lamps or the carriages. So I'll carry on buying lamps as much as I can. And then it is a joy if we buy a carriage and the lamps will fit without having to alter the brackets or something.
Yeah.
So I try to match up and make sure that we've got the right lamps on the right carriage.
Well, we've talked a lot about him because there's a friend of ours who comes to the carriage sales. He's been a client for decades now, Joe Hendy. He lives nearby and he's a very knowledgeable man on lamps, isn't he? Probably learned a lot from just Joe being here.
We have. In the early days, I'm sure Joe would try and put us off buying lamps.
So that he could get them.
So that he could get
them. Yes, I'm quite sure.
But yeah, Joe comes round here normally at a tea time.
Yeah.
And we do orders. I have a lot of stories with you.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And Pat, you sort of started all this, didn't you, with buying the pony? It's all your fault. But I just think this, as you were saying, you know, you set off to Denmark to pick up the carriage. You know, you've been all over the place. You've got some carriages, well, a container waiting to come back from America.
Yeah.
You're about to golf and drive in an AI-80 in America. I mean, you've landed on the scene in quite a big way.
But we've done some fun things. We bought a carriage off a man called Philip Grummer. He lived down on the Loire Valley.
Yeah.
And off we, Pat and I went. When the French go on strike, they know how to do it, don't they? They
don't do anything by halves, do they?
And they were striking.
Okay.
And they got bonfires on the roundabouts. They'd barricaded the... No, all the tolls were barricaded off. And
do we know what they were striking about? Anything?
The French don't need anything.
Just a general strike.
But we went down there. We bought that carriage off Philip Grummer, didn't we? That was a little Peter's one.
Yeah.
But the history behind that it had been actually put into a cellar in a Parisian house in 1939.
So a British-built one.
Yeah.
It's ended up in Paris.
Yeah. Put into the cellar.
Yeah.
For the Second World War. Not just because it's a carriage, there would have been all other stuff, yeah. paintings and all mm-hmm. All bricked up so that none of the Germans found it.
Mm, interesting.
The house got sold in 1985, and that's when Philip Grummer bought this carriage.
So it had remained behind this wall or had
all that time.
Really?
Yeah.
How fascinating. And was it presumably reasonable condition?
Yes. And so if you all the mats are original, you lift the mats up and you've got all of the original vinyl underneath. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the seats had to be redone, that was all.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were really lucky with that.
Yeah. Do you have a favourite carriage? Difficult question. I know I've got a favourite in your collection. You know which one that is. But
do I? I think that I have to look at... It's a bit like saying, what's your favourite horse? I've got a favourite horse here, but he's useless.
But he's not going anywhere, is he?
He's
staying.
The
song
we never had.
Oh.
So to have a favourite carriage is probably the Laurie and Marna coach that we've got.
Yeah.
But then you say, well, how often do you use it? And it's very, very rare that yeah. we would use that. So there's favourites, and there's things that are a little bit more practical to take yeah. to an attelage or whatever we're doing. Probably the wind over dog cart that we've got there.
Yeah.
That's probably my favourite carriage to drive, even though that when we drove a tandem, we tipped it up. But I was lucky because I landed on Pat.
And will there ever be an end point to this, or is it just... That's the end point. Yeah. So another barn or shed's going to have to be erected quite soon, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We've earmarked that. We're going to put a bit of mezzanine in,
you mentioned that.
Yeah,
because obviously you've got the main coach house, and you've got a collection of bits and lamps, and it's amazing. And then outside at the back of the first barn that went up,
yeah,
there's some beautiful ones that you're still deciding what to do. And one of the best omnibuses I've ever seen is out there. It's beautiful, the Burlington one.
I think that's a very nice, very special carriage. And I'll tell you what I'd really like to do, but I'm never going to be brave enough to do it, is you know a lot of the, I'm going to say a lot of the kids, I'm going to get strung up for that. My daughter's 40 this year and I still call her a kid. And they take a gap year.
Yes. My kids are about to do that.
Right.
I'm at that stage.
I would like to take a gap year and go and work with a local coach builder.
Okay.
And do that omnibus.
And do it yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Using him to tell me what I'm doing and right and what I'm doing wrong.
Slight inconvenience. There is business to keep going.
And there is. So there's sometimes what you want and sometimes what's going to actually be practical to do.
Yes.
And what's going to be practical to do is to send it to somebody else and get it to
yes
do.
Yeah. And actually we were discussing that you've used Philip Holder a lot over the years, you've used the Polish guys. It's not that straightforward anymore, is it?
Because
it's increasingly fewer people with the skills to do it.
What worries me about, I've got one particular Polish guy now who does stuff for us, and what you send there you get back.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to you send a nice original English carriage and they take all your horrible English brass off it and replace it with nice modern Polish brass. But yeah, the omnibus that we've got is
worth doing, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
And then we're talking of omnibuses. You've got some great pictures up on the walls of when you took some of the local hounds to a meet inside one of them, and they you said they liked it so much they didn't want to get out, did they? They were very happy
inside.
So that's
an interesting carriage, that is, really, because it's come off out of the Royal Mews.
Yeah.
It's felt that it's come off probably something like Sandringham Estate, because it's actually set up as a as a van.
Yeah.
So the wheels are all heavier. There's handbrakes on the back. Well, a handbrake is a chain that just goes around the wheels. So on first glance, you think, well, it's got the wrong wheels on it and everything. Mm-hmm. But actually, we think that it was a Sander Gunn vehicle. And Colin Henderson came here.
Yes.
And he went through it and he went, yeah, this is how it was originally set up. Almost like as a whether they were doing deliveries on the estate, yeah, or whether they're fetching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how he felt. And that's what made us think, I'll tell you what, we'll do it as a hound cart.
So yeah.
Got lots and lots of photos of people with hound carts and then came up with our best sort of option.
And then went to the meet with them on.
Went to the meet. Yeah. When you pull into a field, there's 60 mounted riders that don't know you're coming in with a pair of horses and a carriage.
Was that quite entertaining at that point? With a few surprised looking horses, no doubt.
I hadn't mentioned to our pair of horses there's going to be 60 people.
Okay, so they're all looking at both sides of giving each other a good look. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Things went really well. We didn't go and sort of join in right up next to them. We parked ourselves well away. The hounds didn't want to come out.
Well, you said, the hounds were quite happy in there. And I do think there must have been something about the vibe of the vehicle, the wood, the old smells. Just, they were obviously really comfortable there, because normally when they get to a meet, they're ready to go, aren't they?
Yeah, no, the hounds were really, really relaxed.
Yeah.
And there was no mess. There was no ripping of anything in there. And we've got pictures of, in the front of the omnibus, it doesn't have any glass or anything in the in the ventilation parts, you've got pictures where they've got six noses all poking out.
Yes, I know, it's lovely. But also, as somebody who drives more old vehicles, not just the springs and the comfort of it, that'd be something that was completely alien to them. They're probably all quite sedate in there.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. So we drove them to the meet. I didn't want the horses to be bouncing about when we got to the meet. So
well, I think pulling a big omnibus onto grass would have slowed them down anyway.
Yeah, we'd done 4 or 5 miles before.
Okay.
Before we had that. I think that bit of a journey on with them hounds. I think that. Yeah, they loved that.
Well, they would have had a sense of what was behind them as well, on a different sort of non-verbal level. They would have.
I'd like to go to them. We might take that to an attelage and get one of the hounds to meet.
I was going to say, with a hound on board
with a load of hounds on top. And then loose the hounds out. Yeah, yeah.
So what's next? So obviously we're chatting before, the dates are all out, but the season hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
And we're just having a chat. So aiming for Royal Windsor, hopefully this year, and some of the attelage events as well.
Yeah.
Anything else on the schedule?
No, we'd like to do a little bit over in Seville or something.
Yeah.
And go over there and just drive a little bit over there.
A new France thing.
Yeah, when we were at
the road club
the other day, they were talking about the thing in France. What's that, the 4th of July?
It's early July, and the estate looks incredible, doesn't it?
So if it's all ifs, really. If we can manage to get horses across there sensibly,
yes,
it might be something that we do.
And get all your hay made and everything. That's also key.
Yeah. Yeah, we can manage to get a bit of that done.
So that must be the weekend after Sandringham, isn't it? We're thinking.
Yeah, Sandringham's at the end of June.
So we've got Royal Norfolk Sandringham, and then that's the next one.
The other thing that we do is a thing called Shropshire Driving Days. So that's 5 days. When's that? End of July. So we've got to slip that in at some point. And then there's a few little local shows. Last year was all focused around tandem.
Yeah, it's 3 tandems at the meet, which was brilliant. Yeah.
So this year, I don't know what we'll be focused on this year, really. We'll sit here and decide what horses and what carriages we're taking to all the different meets, I think.
Brilliant. And all homebreds now. Has the cycle come through?
Yes, so I'm driving at the moment. We're driving 3 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But my team is a team of dark bays,
uh-huh.
2 full brothers in there, and 2 by the same stallion. So they're all got the same dad.
So these are all essentially Dutch warm bloods that from the youngsters you went to pick up, and now they're of the age where. So how old are they now?
So oldest will be 9.
Okay. Okay.
And then the youngest probably in the team 7 now, I guess, something like that.
Yeah.
But And they can be so much different on different days. So the one leader has always been lovely, lovely, meek and mild. And then the weather warmed up a bit, and he's got a big coat on, so we decided to clip him completely out.
Oh, got fresh, did he?
Fresh.
okay. Right. So, did he need a little lunge
we drive him with a sheet on him now.
Isn't that interesting?
So, and hopefully.
But his quarter sheet is fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, they do often feel a little bit fresher once they've had their woolly coats off. Maybe do a blanket clip next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Half.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what... leave some woolly bits on.
But you don't know what, you know, all the rest of them are okay. Yeah. They're fine with it. But it's him. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the Dark Bay team that is mine and Nicola's driving a Bay team. And Abby's driving generally a grey team, mm-hmm. but we've got one coloured leader.
Yeah.
So, and we went off, we do bits of pub crawls as well, don't they? And then.
It teaches them to stand well, doesn't it? They so do learn to stand.
That's a summertime thing,
So last year we did, was it five carriages we took out? And different girls off the yard were
brilliant.
Driving.
Brilliant.
Pretty well, everybody off the yard went. And then Moston, of course, everybody goes.
So that's actually, you're quite near, relatively near to Moston. That must be your nearest event, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what's the driving like? Because you're not far off the main road here. Can you come out and have you got quite good driving?
So we're very lucky with the road that's outside used to be the main road in the 1960s.
Right.
And it's not a bypass, but they put a little straighter section in, which leaves us with a reasonably quiet road.
Yes.
Unless somebody's following a car or a tractor down the main road and they want to use this as a cut through.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to make up time. So we're pretty good. We've got this little road outside. We can, and then when we start off, we'll go up and down the road and just make sure the horse is nice and settled. And then the next thing is we'll go out onto the bigger A road, main road. And then start into then straight away we can get into a housing estate after 100 yards. So we do 100 yards on the main A road, get ourselves into a housing estate. We're nice and quiet, but we're seeing different things.
Yes, yes.
And then we keep extending it as we go along that. We're right close to RAF Shawbury, so sometimes you've got helicopters coming across. We had a gunship hovering above us the one day. Which is very much different. But the horses are used to all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so desensitized.
Yeah, not bothered by that.
Yeah.
Well, they're all practicing from Cosford, aren't they?
Yeah.
As well. Mm-hmm.
And then outside of the local RAF base, they've put these big slabs of rubber in the road as a traffic calming measure. But, I mean, you take, when one of our horses sees that for the first time, they've got to jump the damn thing. and you end up... Yeah, so it takes them ages just to calm off.
Yeah.
We did a drive, actually it was with the coaching club, we did a drive with John Richards up at the Duke of Westminster's, and through the little village that we went through, they'd got the same traffic calming measures.
Yeah.
Everybody else's horses were jumping about.
But yours were fine because they've seen them. Isn't that brilliant?
So they've become, like you said, desensitized to a lot of the stuff. And then if we go the other way, we've got all the Forestry Commission woods.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's good.
So we can go, and the girls will go riding in the woods, or we can take the Section A's, we can get through a lot of the little tracks, and the big horses, we have to stick to the main track.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're really, really lucky.
So you've got all the options, because that's the big thing, is just finding places to drive, particularly with three teams to get out, plus all the others.
Where we originally looked and said, you know what, we should have gone off and bought a farm somewhere. Mm-hmm. I can go and buy, I probably could have gone and bought a farm, but could I have bought a farm with as much nice driving as what we've got? And we couldn't. We've got some real nice loops from here that we can do.
Good.
And whether we want main road, whether we want going past school kids.
Yeah, well, it all helps, because actually that sort of bubble of noise, if you're at a county show or something, or even somewhere like Royal Windsor, Royal Windsor on a Sunday when we're trying to get into the main ring and there's all those people.
Yeah.
If they've seen all that sort of thing before and pushchairs or colours and the noise, is that sort of that level of noise with the children?
Yeah, because how do you practice for that?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, and you've really got to try and expose them to as much as you can possibly expose them to. We were going down the village the other day and an ambulance came up behind with all these Nernhurs on.
Oh, nice.
And I was disappointed that he turned them off as he went past it. Because I wanted to see how the horses were going to react.
Okay, right.
But they're good. They just stood there. He did turn it off just as he went past us.
But they would hear that in the distance.
Yeah, on that.
Probably heard it before you guys did.
They
do hear it. But it's driving out on the road is always a bit of a lottery. You do feel like you take your life into your hands because there's so much. And also, sometimes big bits of farm machinery or trucks come by and you expect the horses to not react well, and they do. And then bicycles or electric cars aren't very nice to them. I think there's something about the hum of them. And also people then stop and the engine starts again next to them. They're not used to that. It's just what they get used to, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And we're lucky with a lot of the farmers are here and we'll give them the indication of whether hold up a bit or keep coming, you know.
Yes,
so you get an arctic coming towards you and he's slowing down, going, I mean, go.
Well, you don't want the air brakes. Just keep going. You'd rather they kept going without the air brakes.
But anyway, the horses, they do all right for us.
Brilliant.
They're okay.
So how many foals are you due to have this year?
So what, we got five this year? Four.
Yeah.
There you go, I knew that.
And will they all be kept again?
So I don't really want mares.
Okay.
Don't want any fillies, really. So,
but we're still keeping the fillies, though, aren't we?
We have. We've had fillies for the previous years. And my daughter wanted an Irish sports horse. And but she wanted 70% thoroughbred.
Right.
So she was quite specific of what she wanted.
Yes, okay. With a bit of draft in there.
Yeah, so anyway, we bred one, and that one's name is Tilly. But we ended up with a little filly. Not as it bothers me, because it's going to be daughter. And I said to my daughter, when, you know, we've got the foal now, so when do you want it? And she said, well, when it's four and broken in.
Oh, I see. Okay. So... That's job.
So it's 2-year-old now.
Yeah. You're saying you send some of your horses down to Sunny for breaking, and you've got somebody else you use to back them for riding as well.
Yeah, yeah. So we've got, on the breeding program, we started putting to some Spanish, so some Pre's and that, just to try and bring the temperament down a little bit. But a lot of the Spanish horses trot along and they're dishing so badly.
Mm.
So I'm trying to keep away from the dishing. We've got a nice little lad called Spencer. His mum was called, we named his mum Lady Di.
So, okay, so,
so
that's,
I ended up with Spencer.
That's where it's come from, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see how we get on as time progresses. But we've got four this time. So three by Spanish and one Appaloosa. So I can see if I can get something to
get the spots. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm probably going to get something like a chestnut mare come out there.
Yeah.
Although the lady who got the stallion said it won't be a chestnut mare. It will be spotty. I only bought the semen at a charity.
Okay, but let's just rewind on that one. You bought some semen from an Appaloosa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At a charity event?
At a charity event.
Oh, that's not a line you hear every day.
No. So we went.
Russell, there's lots of things that surprise me about you, but that, I have to say, is possibly one of the biggest.
Yeah.
What sort of charity and where do you hang out for your social life?
We went to a place called Stallion AI Services.
That's quite near here, isn't it?
Yeah. Quite close. We're very lucky. And sometimes you don't realise how good things are that are on your doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, you'll travel miles to go and have a look at something else, but the thing on your doorstep you miss. So you've got two brothers. One does the semen side, the stallions, and then the other one does all of the AI. So our mares go to be AI'd there.
Yeah.
And every year, the stallion side have a big open day. So they've got
things like Big Star there. Big Star's been there for a little while. So I went to this, and then there was a charity that Tullis Maston supports for rare breeds. Mm-hmm. And I saw on this board this Appaloosa semen. But you see, the Pat doesn't like me to wander around on my own.
I know, quite right, Pat. You need to pin his hands down because bidding just, yeah.
And she made the mistake of letting me wander.
Oh, Pat. It's all your fault again, isn't it?
Yeah. we bought this semen and put it into one of my mares. And I'm really keeping my fingers crossed that we get a big Dalmatian.
When's the foal due?
First of May.
Well, yeah. God willing, everything's all right. But please, can we have a picture of this poll? Yeah. Because this is a whole story in itself for Carriage Commentator. I mean, this is why I run the business, is for me, for moments like this.
You imagine. I mean, we don't know, do we? I mean, it might just be a nice little colt.
No, but it's buying the semen at auction just by mistake. That's the incredible part of all.
It wasn't so much by mistake. It was just that I was left alone.
It's management, isn't it? Oh, yeah. That's a brilliant story. Yeah. Well, Russell, long may you keep doing what you do, because you give us all just a lot of pleasure and entertainment just because of your positivity. You just embrace it. And, you know, this what you've created and the goodwill with those around you is just brilliant.
Yeah.
And just keep doing what you're doing. And Pat, let him wander off occasionally, because it keeps us all on our toes as well.
Yeah, she's not allowed to let me wander off at Reading.
And how many years have you been married?
Ooh. Well, there is a question there, really, because if you just...
Oh, my goodness, this might not be for suitable for publishing.
If you'd have said, how long have you been happily married for?
Ooh.
What's the answer, Pat?
I can't remember that.
About four. About 4 years of happy marriage.
Okay, and the rest is?
1981 we got married. So
yeah, 45 years this year.
Yeah. No, we generally end up enjoying the same sort of things.
Well, thank goodness.
I don't know how the horsey bit sort of is just the horsey bit, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a garage full of cars and motorbikes and things like that, but never get, they don't even get turned on. So, but never sell anything, because you're never going to be able to justify it.
Well, I was going to say, just give us a ring one day. We can quite easily organise a sale here, because it's all
you might need it, though, do you, Russell?
No.
So if you,
And it's that one thing you get rid of. It's the one thing you throw out that actually you think you should have kept and that you needed, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Thank you.
So there you go. That's us, isn't it?
The J-Rock team. Well,
yeah. I bet you'll set out stuff at Reading and think, I wonder what that nutcase is going to be.
No, but I have to say, when you turn up, there's a few, quite like Jared and the Proust standing up as well. There's a few of you. But the thing is, you just are such brilliant characters. And actually, you've started with a dream and, you know, Oaks and Acorns, totally, you absolutely took by that.
Gerard is funny, really, because we bumped into him. We went to a sale in France, didn't we? Went to buy a
hansom cab.
Cab, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then came back with a tandem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we bumped into Gerard there.
Yeah, I bet you did. Yeah, he'd be there. No, he's brilliant. But yeah, and this is what we need, because when you're in our world of carriages, it doesn't feel that small. But I think when you look from the outside in, and without your passion, without the whole team keeping this going, for me, what you've got out there and with the harness and all the different, we were talking before we started this about the different harness makers you're using, be it the Spanish guys or Henk or Huskinson's or John McDonald, and they all have slightly different characteristics. But you're helping these crafts keep going, you know, with the apprenticeship, the next generation coming up. And that's what we need. So thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. We enjoy it. We enjoy watching the kids start with us and working their way through and actually watch them go to an attelage or something like that. We had one girl who went to Three Counties show last year. She won the concourse there.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, so it works out. It's not all about doing something yourself. You get quite a lot of pleasure out of actually watching other people.
Yeah, it's rewarding, isn't it?
Yeah, honestly, it is for me. Yeah. It is for me.
Brilliant. Pat, thank you for getting him going. Is there anything that you've said in the collection, I really want that? What have you decided that you wanted as part of it all?
I don't know, actually.
But Pat's easygoing. She'll go along with.
Yeah.
You don't have to tell her everything that you're buying.
Well, you were saying, and I think we can share this, just this brilliant arrangement that you have where you might buy something and then the invoice gets sent to Pat.
I receive the invoice by email.
And then it gets forwarded on quite quickly.
What's the point in wasting breath talking? You know, you just forward that
just
email.
Just forward it on.
Please pay.
Please. As long as you say please, then
please
it's pay. A good go.
You'll get a kiss at the end of it. Then.
No, not anymore. Not after 45
minutes. We did. No. No, but yeah, life is a journey anyway, isn't it? And what your hobby was 30 years ago might not quite be the same as it is now.
Well, you're in quite deep with this one. I don't think that this isn't going to be one that you can turn off from very easily.
So we are in deep, aren't we? And did we choose the right horses? They're probably a little bit more lively and a little bit more fresher than they could have been. Perhaps we would have been Irish, or I was going to go Cleveland Bay, if I'm really honest.
Okay. Not very easy to get hold of, actually.
Well, to buy?
Well, there's just not that many of them around.
Right, so that's the only disappointment that I've particularly got, is that I did talk to a man who was selling a couple of Cleveland Bays, and I wish that he'd been really honest with me, that they were selling because his wife had been breeding for a long time, and she was not well.
Okay.
And had he have said all that, I'd have probably gone Cleveland Bay and taken that breeding line on and that program.
Oh, okay.
So that's probably the thing that I look back on and think to myself, do you know what? Perhaps I ought to have done that. But then if I look at a Cleveland Bay and the way Cleveland Bay moves as against the way one of the Dutch harness horses moves, you know, the Dutch horses.
I think fate took you down the road that you were meant to go down that one.
So that was something. But anyway, and we're doing the thing with us, putting the Spanish, and we'll see what happens there.
I have a feeling some Cleveland Bays are going to end up in the yard here. I bet you only have to have the thought and these things happen.
No, I've thought about it and thought about it. And what happened is I also listened to a lady at New Forest show where I was watching Cleveland Bays, and she said, oh, they can be quite stubborn. I wish that I'd have had a Cleveland Bay.
It's not too late.
Not too late, but... It ain't going to match in with anything else.
Well, no, I mean, looking at the collars and things, you know, everything is sort of geared around what you've been breeding and the sizes
No, I think we're okay as we are. I think we're okay as we are. We just need to have a bit more fun and perhaps do a bit of continent stuff as well. And
well, if they can sort this paperwork out,
if we can get
just
across,
just make it a bit easier.
Yeah, and we just bought another trailer, and we'll have another.
Yeah,
the lorry for it, so we can go in a bit more of a convoy, and that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Brilliant.